Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Welcome. Welcome to the Mikey Peaky Show. The Harry Potter Show. This is Kino Voices Radio on Block Talk Radio. And we are a wonderful, fabulous group in all poetry. The largest poetry group on the internet, I might add. And tonight, right now, I have Rocky Horror, Chrissy Bird, and Rescue. I believe 434 is Miss Brandy. Hello, 434. Say hello.
Guess it's myself.
I guess so. Hello, hello. Hello, 434. There's your area code. Pop up and say hello. Say hello.
Yeah.
I guess it's you.
Oops, wrong show.
What you wish? Huh?
Oops, wrong show.
Well, it might be Witch. But you better review yourself.
Hey, sweet, you sound like you're a little muffled.
Am I a little muffled? Is that better?
Say something else.
Is that better?
A little bit.
A little bit. Let me try something else.
What are you
tasting? Ha, ha, ha.
Is that better?
Say something else.
I said, is that better?
Yes.
Yay.
That's I told better. You it was the teeth.
I took them out. Good Lord.
Take them someplace nice.
So I'm doing the whole woohoo fairy tales. Fairy tales are lovely.
Wait.
It's veiny. Wayne's on the board. Hello, Wayne. How are you? Actually, that's not Wayne. Yeah, this is Wayne. How come
that's Wayne
saying hello to me? Is my studio that screwed up? Nobody's saying hi to me? Hello, Wayne.
Wayne, say hello. Are you on mute?
I'm on mute. I'm sorry, I was on mute. I was just talking away. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was on mute. And, yeah, I started my poem 23 minutes ago, and I just finished it. So it's all
wow
interesting. I hadn't read it yet, so it'll be fun. So, but I was running late today. I had to mow the yard, and the rain's coming, so I've been working all day, and I made it. So, like I say, I made it.
All right. I'm going to answer. Hello, Bewitched?
Always.
Oh, is this Brandy?
Always. Yeah, it's me.
I've been trying to talk to you for like 5 minutes, and you keep going away.
You know what? My house phone hates Blog Talk here on a team of voices. Works everywhere on every other group, but here it just hates everybody.
What are you up to, woman?
My muse is coming back.
That's awesome.
Yeah, coming back.
I'm glad to hear that.
I haven't been able to write because everything's been, coming and going, and all this stuff, personal life thing, private matters, and all this stuff. But, Chaz, yes.
I'm glad you're back.
But, it is what it is. I got to take care of me now. Going through the little health issues. At 40 years old, got health issues, got to take care of.
Take care of yourself.
Of course, I can't get overly too excited and all that stuff. So I might meet myself if things get a little loud on my end. Or echo might happen. But
well,
I will be listening.
Sit back, enjoy, make a comment. Tonight is all about fairy
tales. Ooh.
Got some great fairy tales coming on.
Oh, okay.
It's storytelling and fairy tales.
Fairy tales and pixies, right?
Yeah. That's right. So that's what we're doing. So I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
I want you to... Good. It's going to be fun.
Let me turn my TV down a little bit more. Okay.
Awesome. So, Rack, I know that you've had your love of fairy tales. And you couldn't see any of my pictures, so... I don't know how that went for you.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Picture prompts for you are a joke. And Pretty Bird, what did you think of all the beautiful pictures?
Oh, I love the pictures. That black and white dragon is speaking to me. That tree of death with the hanging bird, that's speaking to me. I'm all about the darkness. But my brain is broken, and my fingertips ain't typing much, so I will definitely have something for next week, but... I tried as a maid. There are no words for tonight.
No, there are words. They're just older words.
Oh, Pretty Bird.
The words of wisdom from the past.
We shall see. Wayne, I have guilt now. Thanks.
Don't feel bad. I
like
don't mind so fast. I'm amazed.
I like it. I like that you made her feel guilty. Not that I have any reason to make her feel guilty. Yeah.
Pretty Bird, do a brevity on...
Told me you can't feel guilty.
Do a brevity on the Princess and the Pea. Go.
What happens when
the
princess is the pea?
That would be a Wayne production.
OMG. You know what? I am unprepared for your quips tonight, Rack.
Yeah, I just keep us company.
Lizzie,
so. Yeah, what is, happens when the princess is the pea? That's a great question. That was funny. I just caught that. My brain just caught up, so that shows you where I'm at.
You get smothered by the master.
Good Lord.
That's funny. Oh, I started on air. Oh, that's embarrassing.
Only when you point it out.
I like, I didn't even notice until you go, oh, I snorted on air. Oh, yeah, you did.
you know, the ships would be sinking because I flap my own lips about my own gosh darn self way too often.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. So we had all kinds of, like, super-duper poets and super-duper things going on with lovely SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. So I think that we should start with those, and we'll start with Kay. Because I was so late with SoundCloud last week. It was just pathetic. I was like such a bad hostess last week. I was all over the place. I was like crazy. And I apologize to all my listeners because I was so not with it last week. I don't know why. It's just one of those weeks. So I'm going through.
Kay is on the board. So whenever you want to push the button.
I want to push the button. Here we go.
Strength Offered in Red, Otherwise, by Kay. Warlord of the Red Road, Stallion's Favoritism. Mountain Tribe Copus, of Copper and Strength, Grace in the Bell's Ponthive. Dothraki, Undefeated. Sidestep Spilled Blood, and Molten Gold upon Blade's Threat. Saved from Cell Swords, a gifted warrior, Numerates and Blood Riders. It's a boy. And to my son, the stallion who will mount the world, I pledge a gift. Her prince, cradled in womb, hold an iron chair. Throne a seven kingdom and ride in west upon. Wooden horses, throw black salt water, slit the iron suit men. Tear down their stone houses as the stars look down and witness. A king not sit upon throne as only his horse is needed. Rivers run dry as love pours through the eyes. Through death's suffocation, the fires will rise. Reigns of abusive brother, untethered by the king. Moon to their sun and stars union till death depart. Clash of king's birth, blood fires of dragonstone. Mother of mountainside beats in the valve of red, silver, and poem.
Wow. Alrighty then. I like a knight not sit upon throne as only his horse is needed. Knights on horses. This is very, it is Game of Thrones. Okay, so I got that right. I was like, what Game of Thrones? Throne of Seven Kingdoms and riding west upon wooden horses through black salt water, split the iron suit men tear down their stone houses as the stars look down in witness. This is quite the bloody battle here, and she does a very good job of really giving you the imagery of the hate and then the love and then going back and forth, sidesteps of blood and molten gold upon Blade's Threat. I love some of the great imagery that's in here, and then also some of the metaphors that she throws in here. I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan, so there are a lot of things in here that I see, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I got that. Oh, yeah, that's in reference, too. But even if you don't know Game of Thrones, there's some really great imagery in here, like Clash of the Kings, Births, Blood fires of dragonstone, mother of mountainside deeps in the valve of red silver. So I thought that was amazing. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
You know, I kind of love this. I'm not a big Game of Thrones fan. I watched two seasons because I promised my son I would, and it's just not my bag. I know people think I'm odd, but it's just not. And but this is it tells a fabulous story. You know, with this where is it? Yeah, a king not sit upon a throne as only his horse is needed. And where's the part about the womb, which I really liked.
Oh, and her prince cradled in womb holding iron chair, where it tells a story that this union is going to bring together all of this stuff. And she does it really with beautiful language. And so it wasn't hard to follow at all. So I kind of appreciated that. So a lovely little tale of kingdoms.
Absolutely, and Reckontor.
Yeah, I really appreciated this. I love Game of Thrones too. The Iron Throne that it kind of centered around, and all the battles and the politics and the infighting. It was so well done, and you know, the show itself was incredible. And this is a beautiful take on the story. And like you guys, compartmentalized enough that you could appreciate the poem itself without having seen the movie, the series. So I really appreciated that as well. The imagery was phenomenal, and you know, I really loved the bloody battles, because you know that was half the show itself. You know, who was killing who? the whole saga with who's going to actually end up in that throne. You know, that the story was kind of centered around was wonderful. This is a great poem, Kay.
And Wayne, tell me what you see.
Yes. So I think it's a very good storyline, this poem. She read it wonderfully read, and I like the reference to the Game of Thrones, which I have never watched, but maybe 15 minutes of. But after going through Sky's 25 weeks of Game of Thrones, I think I know it inside and out. So I know quite a bit about it now. And I like the part where she says, the river run dry as love pours through the eyes. Through death, suffocation, the fire will rise. What is this? Kay's rhyming? I am so impressed. She never rhymes, and here she's rhyming this poem. So I'm just tickled to death. Great job, Kay. I enjoyed the poem. Good job.
Hey, Pretty Bird, can you put a link to the show for Lizzie on the board?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I really, really am digging this. Let's see. And to follow that, we have Stevens. So yeah, I probably can do that since I made Pretty Bird be busy somewhere else.
I got it.
Oh, good God. That woman is big.
She's got magical fingers.
And he's on the board.
All right. So here we go with Steven.
Heaven on the Battlefield by Steven 76. To look into those eyes I've loved for all these years that passed. To be so close to you, my dear, although this will not last. You know, too, that I feel this way, though content to be a protector. As long as you still insufflate, then I am still the victor. I've longed to hold you in my arms, now I do lack the strength. Harder now to draw a breath, my time is short at length. I see the pity in your eyes, and perhaps there is some love. But you, my queen, you must go on, or evil will rise above. Don't shed a tear for me, my love, for if I die in your embrace, heaven will bow, unable to match your tenderness and grace. End poem.
Oh, my God, this is heartbreaking. This is really a love poem and a half, and heartbreak that she went through and the pain that she went with. I mean, it made her, I don't know, it made her beautiful and wicked and hard, and the death of her husband was, you know, changed her so much. And, wow. This is just stunning and beautiful. I mean, even I didn't know the character that the poem was written for, but wow. I really love this, Stephen. I really, really do. It's beautiful. It's written with such tenderness, and yet the battle cry, like, don't shed a tear for me, my love, for if I die in your embrace, heaven will bow unable to match your tenderness and grace. That is just such a gorgeous ending. You knocked it out of the park there, Stephen. Hey, Brandy, you got anything to say?
I'm still here. Okay, yeah. You know,
Am I on mute?
Hold on.
No, I'm not on mute. Okay, I had to make sure. You know, I read this before, and you still feel that tenderness in it, you know? It's like that aha moment, you know? It's that aha moment where you know you're going to be with the one no matter what happens. Yeah. That's the best way to describe it. You know, even in battle, you're going to die together. You're going to meet up with each other in another lifetime.
Absolutely. Rack and tour your thoughts.
Yeah, I thought this is a beautiful take on his relationship with his wife. You know, it just felt like a natural parallel to me, the way that he talks about her and everything. It's no surprise that he chose this, and it probably came fairly easy to him. You know, everything he captured from the show, you know, I could see him saying to her. So, you know, I really appreciated that sentiment of, you know, dying in her arms, you know, that being like the last thing he sees. That's always a beautiful thought. And, you know, when you love someone, that's kind of what you want. You know, although there's the added torture of, you know, knowing that they're going to be without you and not wanting to be without them, you know, it's kind of torture to go first. But, you know, I really appreciated the ride itself. You know, it was gorgeous, Stephen.
And Wayne, your thoughts.
Well, Rocky kind of stole my line with that, because I said I can see Stephen K in this poem, except you didn't die in real life. That was a hell of a battle, and the death of Mormont was sad. You did a great job with this poem. It's very emotional, and I loved it. It's a wonderful job. So like I said, I had to say, wonderful.
And Pretty Bird.
You know, there is something to be said for quietly loving somebody, and to lay there in those moments where this ends. Don't shed a tear for me, my love, for if I die in your embrace, heaven will bow, unable to match the tenderness, your tenderness and grace. And, you know, to die happy in the arms of the one that you love is really just beautiful, and this is heartbreaking.
It is. Wow, that's a beautiful piece. Okay, we're going to throw up Glow Lizzie because she's on the board and would like me to read.
Give me one second. Okay. Here she is.
There she is.
Look at that. Drag Budo out of the woodwork, too.
I see. And there she is.
All right. So here we go. Make sure everybody can hear me. The mystery of the Black Woods. Within the depths of Black Woods, eerie whispers rise of the fog. Skeletal. I know I can't get that out of my mouth. Gotcha. Sorry, Lizzie. Figures stand distorted and bent, outstretched arms tailing at a blackened night. Yellow orbs stare through twisted limbs, piercing like daggers sting deep into the core, seeking for that which lies beyond flesh and bone, like greater breath, scanning from head to foot. Like Parliament gathers, taking their seats beneath amber slits of light and mist, they await the master so judgment can begin. Appearing through smoke and wind, a hooded girl appears perched on a limb, yellow eyes and crimson stained teeth. She screams, guilty, and her followers screech. Lucky you are to have escaped her grasp. For flayed flesh dripped off bone is what her followers seek to have. Take a seat next to this old hag. Within these woods illusion doth live, a cat and mouse game I do play. do you not recognize the childlike eyes set upon the wrinkles of this old hag? Run, as many may. You cannot get away. The sky is swarming with my birds of prey. Shudder and fear and accept your fate as I collect that which is owed to me. End of poem. Yay! I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, yes. Run as you may. You may not get away. Shudder in fear and escape your fate as I collect that which is owed to me. Oh, this is fabulous. Oh, those that think they can run from their sins. No, 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 no. Someone tell me after you. Someone tell me after you. I love this. Oh, this is fabulous. I'm so excited you wrote for me. I love the picture. Oh, fabulous. Yellow orb there, your twisted limbs. I love that. The parliament. I love the parliament. Like, they all think they're going to judge, and she, you know, just one little hag comes in and says, bloody shit, I'm going to take you all on, and just, they're the sinners, I'm the judge, you all owe me. Fabulous, love it, love it. And pretty bird, your thoughts, please.
Well, there is nothing like those yellow orbs piercing the darkness as they gather en masse to bear judgment. This is fabulous. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. You know, Lizzie, I've always enjoyed your darkness especially. I mean, your writing in general, but your darkness especially, because you kind of captivate from like the beginning, and you hold us there, and you know, playing this and playing that, and they're waiting for slave flesh to be stripped off of bone, because that's what that's what they sit there with their little eyes watching and waiting for. And it's just awesome. It's very vivid and very fabulous, and I can hear that those owls in the darkness, and it's awesome. I have nothing bad to say. It's fabulous.
Yeah, it took me to my happy place. I'm back in tour.
I didn't know she met my ex-wife. This is a gorgeous poem. I knew I could count on Lizzie for a bedtime story, and you know, she never disappoints. You know, she brings on the darkness and the carnage, and she does it in such a wonderful way. Her metaphors are exquisite, and you know, her visuals are just hard to ignore. I mean, this is really, really an excellent job. From the being judged to the flayed flesh and the creepiness of it, the overall creepy factor. It's just, you know, 10 out of 10. She did a fantastic job. Great job, Lizzie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely wonderful. And Wayne.
Yes. Yes. I said it's an excellent poem for an old hag. You can write a wonderful poem. The darkness of the darkness really shows through well, and it is time to pay the bitch. I mean, witch. I say you are guilty of being a wonderful poet. You are guilty of being a wonderful poet. Within the depths of the Black Woods, I shall wait for you to return. You're wonderful. Great job.
I appreciate that.
And Brandy, your thoughts?
Calling out an old witch. I see how you feel about me. Okay, I see.
Oh, yes, that's right. And I have, from the land of fairy tales and down under, Mr. AP on the phone. Hello, Mr. AP.
Hello.
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 Wait, how are you?
Doing well.
Excellent.
Did you bring me
I
was personally
now.
Invited, you know, I thought I'd better sort of come by. So, hi.
I'm catching heck right now for what I'm doing, and I knew I shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
Drinking a caffeinated soda after 7 o'clock.
Brandy, you're just all bad in all ways.
Exactly.
No, with what's going on in my heart, I shouldn't be drinking a caffeinated soda.
Whiskey.
Well, don't be.
My heart be skipping beats. But I want to do a
my
commentary.
My heart be mooing.
Huh?
I said, my heart be mooing. But it
yeah. But as for the poem itself,
yeah, that's what's going
you know.
Yeah.
As for the poem itself, I love, even without the picture, you know, I know it's part of this show. You know, because I saw the pictures, I'm like, darn, I can't write to the pictures. My dark side is not showing tonight. You know, as much as I tried, I end up erasing and throwing the paper away. I love how you took to the image and just literally ran with it, Lizzie. And then you flipped it around at the end. You know, you called out the old hag. I felt like you was calling me out, but I said, I'm going to take it with a grain of salt and let her skip on it. Because I gave everybody the ugly glare, murderous glare this morning. You know, I was like, okay, this suits me to the T for the day. Because I was giving everybody the dirty look, you know, since this morning, even on the phone, you know. And well, I was like, okay, I like this. And then I saw the picture. I read along before I even saw the picture. I looked at the picture and I was like, okay, I see the details and where she was going at, you know. And I was like, ooh, oh, okay, cool.
Absolutely great,
I love
great
the
rhyming
scheme. Yes, it was.
Yeah. Hey, Pete, did you bring the present?
Of course. That's right. I mean, I wouldn't think to come past if I hadn't have done something because, you know, you'd probably do nasty things to me. And so, I feel like the dragon, really, that I'm going to talk about, sweet. So, this is Scorch, a tale about a dragon, and it goes a little bit like this. His face was all lined with precious peridot green, sparkling scale rose could be seen with a torch. Eyes were violet amethyst, heated to citrine, but any so close soon turned to borscht. His dragons are elegant, but also mean, and not for nothing was he known as Scorch. Scorch had a mountain lair with a hall of gold. Its glitter could be seen well down the valley. With horns tapered and sharpened by cold, he would target his foes with first sally. His dragons are elegant, but also mean, while his victims in their helmets did tally. His flames burned by the most grim icy days, while flayed then singed the winter of snow. Raids provided so treasure halls raised, and the tribute's piles did steadily grow. As dragons are elegant but also mean, and his opponents were ever the last to know. End poem.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Love the details in this. Oh, my goodness. As dragons are elegant but also mean, and his opponents were ever the last to know. Huh, I guess so. Definitely being burned up by Scorch. I love his name. And I love the... Oh, my God,
Thank you.
The details. I love the story. I love how his horns are tapered and sharpened by cold. Oh, I love he would target his foes with the first sally, which I believe might be something that's quite down under. Because what is the first sally?
It's English. The first attack, feint of a battle.
Oh, okay. I knew it had
English,
to be
English. Yeah, no, English use of the word. Yes, no, more English than Australian. Yeah.
You've probably heard the phrase "sally forth," which is, I think,
exactly.
The same word.
Yes, same word. Same word.
I knew it
had
something to do with that. I knew I kind of knew what the meaning was, but I just wanted to clarify myself. But eyes were violet amethyst, heated, but also soon turned force. Love this. But my favorite line in there is, "As dragons are elegant, but also are mean." It's like my personality.
With a look in the eye. With a look in the eye of the picture, you know, Sweet, I had to go with it. So.
Oh, I love this so much. Favorite, your thoughts?
Oh, AP, AP, AP. You know, I'm all for macerated bloody flesh, but I will never look at borscht the same again. Oh, my goodness. I absolutely loved that line, especially. I mean, I love the whole thing. It has an excellent, excellent flow. And I love your rhyme scheme in here. And the fact that these all look like little cups, like chalices. They're fabulous. But that line is so vivid. Because you go through colors at the beginning. But there's nothing as visually, you know, visceral. You know, as those who get too close, you know, they're turned to borscht. I don't know if y'all have ever seen borscht or ever had borscht or whatever, but look it up because it is.
They get red and beets.
Yes, it's like stewed beets. So it's this like mushy, dark red, macerated flesh looking thing. Actually, you know, you got that spot on. That was awesome. So
well,
you're very, very enjoyable. I like your little dark twists in there.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are welcome.
And Wayne.
I once turned to boys, and I too were mean. The disappointment has a magical tone to it, and the way it was composed. Your read was perfect, and the storyline was fabulous. I like the line where he said he would target his foes with first Sally. He should have used my first Judy, because she's a deadly force too. Great job with this. I enjoyed it a whole lot.
Thank you.
And the rocking store.
Yeah, it's thoroughly enjoyable. I wouldn't have pegged you for someone in that realm of fantasy, but you did a beautiful job with this. One of the things that always strikes me about the dragon-type characters in those fantasy things is that they kind of gloss over his intelligence and you know, highlight on how they are mean. But you went the other way, saying that they're elegant but also mean, you know, when really it's the other way around because they flash their teeth before they, you know, speak. You know, you kind of forget that they're capable of that in a lot of the stories. And I think that's kind of their secret weapon. And, I mean, the whole idea of the treasure and the colors, I mean, you know, if this went into a book, I'd pay you by scale.
No. Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. And, Randy, you have anything to say? I sit back, girl.
You know what? You never disappoint me, AC. It's been a while since I've heard anything because I've been busy. But, yes, you take the most cutest pictures and make it your own twist. Keep it up, man.
Thank you. Thanks, Brandon.
You're welcome.
That is awesome. So I think we might now hear Raconteur.
And he is on the board.
All right. I got you back in the studio. Thank you. Here we go.
Two Left Feet, A Fairy Tale for Princess Sweet by Raconteur. I didn't know whether to celebrate or cry. A personal invitation by messenger from the princess. My social calendar may be a joke, but it was my shoes that caused me distress. So I went to the wizard, desperate for help with my dilemma. My dancing shoes don't work. When I wear them, I hop around like a frog getting an enema. Upon examination, he assured me my footwear could be saved. What they lack is the proper sole. With that, you could waltz on the clouds if you craved. With a wave of his wand, he enchanted my shoes. The princess would be sure to fall for me. Besides, I've got nothing to lose. When the time came, I practically soiled my tunic. Lost in the depths of her eyes, holding her tight revealed I was no eunuch. Under the watchful eyes of the king, I dare not make a move. But I stole that kiss anyway. Her breathless sigh said, I approve. About to be hauled away by the guards, the princess pleaded for me to be spared. The look on the king's face told me I was right to be scared. Surely his majesty will grant a condemned man his final wish. Allow us to finish our dance. The king signaled for the orchestra to play. I knew this would be my only chance. Recalling what the wizard said, I began to waltz. With a flash, we disappeared before everybody's eyes, transformed into binary stars, twined for eternity, dancing across the skies.
Okay.
End poem.
This is beautiful. It's a beautiful story, even with all your little tiny remarks in it. What a beautiful fairy tale. And the nemesis of the king and the uncertainty of the, you know, the man that wants the princess, and the princess is falling for the lovely bard, and it's got everything a fairy tale should have. And I like that in the end, magic turns them into binary stars, and for eternity they're dancing across the sky. It's just so romantic and fairy tale like, and never ever going to happen. But waving his wand, enchanted shoes. Oh, I don't think a princess would have. You'd have to, you know, have a magic wand for a princess to fall through the rack. I think you're quite beautiful. But then at the end of this beautiful tale, you have in parentheses, a fairy tale is not a pixie's butt. And there you go. That's Rack and Tor. That's what I love about you. Thank you for the author's notes of knowing that. I greatly appreciate it. So, AP, your thoughts?
Well, any poem for me that has eunuch and enema in it to start with is going a damn long way towards being one that I like. I when I was listening, I thought it was the proper soul, as in S-O-U-L, not S-O-L-E, and I'd encourage you to think about that as an alternative, Rack. But just a very, very cute piece. Sweet, sour, you know, it just wanted me to get fried chicken and stir it into the poem. It just really cute. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks, P. And you're right. I was tortured between which soul to use. I didn't know if I wanted to be correct or not. So I went with the shoe because I was talking about the shoe.
Yes. I understand, but I would have been similarly torn.
Thanks, AP.
And Brandy, your thoughts?
Never a dull moment on this one either. if I would have known this was going on like 2 weeks in advance, I would have wrote something to it. But, you know, as you know, life gets busy. I wish I could have wrote for this topic.
But we're doing it for 3 weeks in a row.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Okay, cool. I'll write for the next show.
All right.
I'm gonna just have to do a staple tack on my forehead and just say write for the show.
Well, don't do that. That might hurt.
Honey, where my mind been going? It ain't gonna hurt.
All right.
But seriously, there's something about the imagery is just wonderful. I love it. Keep it up.
Thanks, Brandy.
Well, Rack, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear, Rack. It took me hours to get my frog and enema. So this is a wonderfully humorous poem. And if you ever try to get shoes at Goodwill, they have a great used selection. I'm glad you danced your way yourself out of harm. And this is the kind of story I like and the kind of humor I like, and I loved it a whole lot. Great job.
Thanks, Wayne.
All right, and before I get comments from Pretty Bird, I am going to say hello to Sky, and I'm going to say hello to Frank.
Frank and Sky.
Frank and Sky.
Hello.
Frank and Sky.
I fell asleep. I know.
Go ahead.
Oh, God. Oh, God, you're texting me, Rack.
Wipe home in a few comments if he falls asleep. All right. Hello, Frank.
Hello there. Hello there, my friends. I hope everything's going well with everyone.
It's Frank, my man.
All right, Freebird, you the last commenter there on Rack and Tour's phone.
So how come nobody mentions that Girlie got hijacked into the universe forever and ever?
Yeah, one of your like kidnapper.
Just a little bit, but you know, in the most beautiful kidnapping possible, because you know who doesn't want to be you know a little bit of bling. But this was cute. I enjoyed the enema, and you'll never hear me say that in a real life sentence, but and the lack of being a eunuch and all of these little things you put in this little story, and it was compelling. You absolutely kept my attention through the whole entire thing, but talk about a beautiful kidnapping.
Thank you, Pretty Bird.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, witches are putting to sleep or giving them apples. God knows what's happening half the time. At least somebody took her and made her a star.
There you go.
You never can tell. All right. Let's see. What do we have? What do I have on my plate now? Let's see. Where shall we go?
Well, I found a few that might fit if you so choose at some point. I have one about fairies. I've got one about a twisted Alice.
Okay.
You know.
Go for it.
Oh, no, we're going to do it now. I'm just telling you, you know.
Oh, wait
that,
a minute. Wayne says he's about to be invaded, so let's put Wayne up before he gets invaded.
Yeah, the kids are coming back home, so it's going to be terrible here in a minute, I believe. I hear them out there talking now. But anyway.
You are on the board, Wayne.
I'm on the board. I wrote this 25 minutes before the show started and finished right when the show started. So, and I haven't really read it once or twice, so it's going to be gotta be different.
By the way,
and
this is called, my
favorite day of picture. Yeah, it's called The Day of Destruction. Got a little fairy in the picture and a dragon. The Day of Destruction. It was once said that they would return on the 27th of May. Last time there was total devastation, a deathly day. The evil was to rise up out of the ground to destroy. The villagers were scared. Only had one weapon to deploy. Since the last spiritual invasion, a fairy has moved in. Jenny the fairy arrived with a dragon companion. She had never heard of such a force and was taken aback. Regardless, her and her Elmo prepared for the attack. Jenny practiced the spells of old for over three weeks. Elmo served enough energy to burn everything he seeks. Still not knowing who or what the enemy was, usually not frightened, this time was different just because. Knowing the evil rose out of the ground, they took flight. If there was going to be a battle, they were ready to fight. It was to be one of the days of destruction starting tonight. Both were anxious and looking forward to the morning light. Elmo took the clock tower with him to be aware. Jenny used magic to light the clock with care. Midnight came and all was quiet under the moon. After 10 minutes, they figured it would happen soon. The night air was still and there was not a sound. Yet they kept watch to see what would come out of the ground. At the first crack of morning sun, out came the priest. He was waving his arms and said there will be today no beast. Through the night, he had calculated the last deadly event. He found his error in the time when it was first present. The time of the table was off, but only for 20 days. Jenny and Emma was relieved. They flew off in a misty morning haze. To be continued.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, this is exciting. Oh. Wow, I'm very excited it's going to be continued, but what is going on? What's going to happen in this day of destruction? What is going to happen to Jenny and Elmo? They're keeping watch, the first crack of morning sun, the priest is out there. Oh, said there will be today no beast. What beast is coming? You know the beast is going to come. Oh.
I ran out of time. I had to do something quick.
Oh, my God, this is fabulous. I just want to say it's just fabulous again. It's got great imagery. It's got great detail. It's got the edge-of-your-seat storytelling that you always do. And I know that things are going to go boom, boom, boom. So I'm going to start with Pretty Bird. Pretty Bird, go.
You know, I too am super excited that there's going to be a part two. I'm already hoping that there's going to be a part three. And I love that they're all prepared and they're gung-ho and that his name is Elmo because I can't escape Sesame Street. And the best dragon name ever, just Elmo, And so this made me smile a lot, and I really cannot wait for the second part because they're already, and now that they know they've got another 20 days to prepare, that's awesome. That I'm excited. It was captivating.
Rack and Tour, your thoughts?
Yeah, you laid the groundwork for an epic battle to come. It's exciting. As short a time as you did it, you packed a lot into it. Some great imagery. It's like when you write a program or something, you've got a flow chart, you've got a definite pattern and a path that you're about to take, and you can still branch off in any direction and make it really interesting. This has got a lot of possibilities, and like everyone said, we're about to see waiting for part two.
All right.
AP. Your thoughts?
Great flow, great story, and very typically sort of Wayne, sort of tongue-in-cheek, waiting for that final line of the stanza. And to be continued was a brilliant way to keep going, Wayne. So great job.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And my Sky.
Excellent. I was looking at this, but I'm receiving that clock like a cookie. I really love when you went with it. I like that you brought in this, knowing the evil rose out of the ground took flight if there was going to be a battle. It was ready to fight. Wayne, you always bring it. You really are very diverse in your writing, and you don't shy away from storytelling, which I really love in poetry. I really love flash fiction storytelling poetry. So I love that you bring this here and create this character, just Jenny and Elmo. Really, what a name to pick, huh?
I don't know
if I can disassociate that. Yeah, I don't know if I can disassociate that, but it's pretty cool. But maybe this is step one of doing that, right? Brilliant.
Okay, there's 3 more weeks to go, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I was thinking, hi-ho, Elmo.
All right. And, all right. So, let's see. Frank, do you have anything to say?
Yes. First of all, I thought this poem here was another display here, a demonstration of great metaphor, usage of great metaphor. And I thought the narrative was very creative there. The whole notion of the destruction there and using as well the dragon there. Was very, I would say it was very clever there. This piece here brings Wayne's flair. He has a flair for narratives, and I really like this one here. The whole notion there, like I said, of the dragon, it's a mystery there to be unfolded there. And I wonder what the continuation will be. So I'm looking forward to see if Ginny and Elmo, what happens to them as well.
We do.
All right.
I'm still looking forward to it myself because I have no idea. Say, I'm great to hear your voice again, Frank. I haven't heard it for a while.
I'm always on. If it's not here, somewhere else, but I'm always on.
Yeah, but I've been out for a while.
Yeah. I hope you're doing good, my friend.
I'm doing great.
That's good to hear.
Okay. So let's see. Okay, Pretty Bird, you are up.
AP says that he has another one he put on the board, and he's got to go soon. So if you wanted him to put his up first, that's fine.
Oh, okay. Let's go. AP, wooey.
Righto. This is an oldie but a goodie, sweet. This is
okay.
When my daughter, who was 6 years ago, said, your shapes are really tame. I said, okay, I'm going to do one. Bear with me. This is a dragon's tail, and it goes a bit like this. Then in a sweeping light flash, we all found a dragon rash, smashed right into the hall, as upright past the kitchen into us all. Of course, my family was worried, as only were 3, and we're almost ready to eat tea. what sort of dragon on this earth crashes into the settee. Dragon special, this one too, is a fine swirl of colours royal blue through, and in rare times will speak his lore, shiny bruised always with a bit sore. Sighted would apologise still raw. Am so sorry, your horse roar, all scared by what saw. My radar was off, was meant to end in my cave for sup. Really is not my place, I see, but could I join you here, your three? So quickly a new place was set, as the dragon soon regaled of tails flying free. And while was the visitor unexpected, proved to be a fine guest we all soon respected. As long last the time came for him to depart, we all were sad he was off with a start. Then in a roar and a wave into the sky did go. Now a friend may well been foe, but a way past fears did show. Find in life things work through, if do to others as they do towards you. End poem.
All right, so I love the poem. I love the imagery. I love the story. I love, of course, it's you. It's a fabulous story poem about the dragon. However, the absolute over-the-top imagery, not in the poem, but what I'm looking at, makes me sometimes want to just slap you in the face. But that's out of love. But it's completely because out of respect that I think once in a while someone, a lady of particular of my choice, with her lovely white gloves, just want to walk up and slap, crush your face, and walk away with the indigenous look on my face and be gone. And that's
I know he'd just turn your cheek.
Yes, I know he would. I cannot. I've tried, and I keep trying, and I will continue to keep trying. But this is not a level I will ever get to. I just crazy work here.
Infuriating.
No, it's not infuriating. Just a little slap across his face with a pair of nice women's gloves, and I'll be happy. And of course, we'll be done with it. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
You know, I first of all, your concrete form is awesome, like right down to its tongue and its horns and its wings and the arrow at the end of its tail is a beautiful dragon. But I love that he's clumsy. His radar's all off. Instead of going home for dinner, he's knocking to somebody else's place and hangs out for a bit because, you know, he's all bruised up from the crash. I thought that was just excellent. I mean, it was wonderfully visual. And it was sweet, you know, that whole do unto others because, you know, he just needed to rest a bit before he can fly back off where he needed to be. So, you know, thanks for the hospitality. Got to go. I kind of really loved that. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pretty Bird.
Absolutely. And, Sky, your thoughts?
I thought it was wonderfully done. You're always very clever in the width. And then, of course, the shape itself was brilliant. Wait a minute, hold on. I'm on the right one, right? How come no one said anything about the shape?
I said I wanted to slap him in the face over it.
No, she went on for 5 minutes about the shape.
I must have missed that violence. All right, well, brilliant.
Pretty Bird mentioned the arrow on his tail.
Oh, all right. I just woke up.
Okay, let her wake up. She needs coffee.
Thank you.
No, I don't need coffee. This is absolutely filling. You know, I love when people can be visually creative just as they can in literature. And I have to admit, I haven't done too many of these. And I see things like this, and I'm like, I really need to get on that. I need to get that on that in my life. But I thought it was wonderful. It was wonderful storytelling. I love the theatrics it's a fine swirl of colors, time to speak. I mean, even if you read it individually instead of across the line, it's still quite clever. So I do like that. Really, really well done.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you.
All right. Miss Pretty Bird, time for you to read.
Okay, it's up on the board.
To be so excited.
And This is the Imps of Children Lost. It sounds so pleasant, doesn't it? Okay, it goes like this. The forest lasts through dusk and dawn with giggles chiming and jumping fawn, dancing, frolicking, and carrying on. They lure you in between the realms of lives foregone. The game begins. Spirited imp or fireflies in the woods where nature lies, do the cackles that belie the wayward truth. Soon enough you'll realize their playful youth. From generations long ago, having fun wherever they go, putting on a fun-filled show, just passing time, befriending those who care to know until bedtime. All the kids that used to be flying wild and dancing free, honeysuckle, flower wreaths, and cherub smiles. Innocence is calling thee with fairy wiles. Everyone can see them fly as lightning bugs and fireflies, where grown-ups push the truth aside, defining facts in forests where the imps reside in mischievous acts. All the children lost before who couldn't quite find heaven's door still frolic free as they adore their playful ways, dancing through the old folklore, their truth unchanged. And if you choose to see them fly, they will never try to hide, for they will show the kid inside how to let go and bask with your most childish side lost long ago. End poem.
Wow. I don't even know where to begin. From generations long ago, having fun where they go, putting on a fun-filled show, just passing time, befriending those who care to know until that time. That was like almost every day for me. And then with the lightning bugs and fireflies and first and imps, the life that was. I love this because it's kind of what fairy tales are, to, you know, when you're a kid, everything is just a fairy tale until you're told to come to bed. It's that one part of you that we're, as adults, you don't ever have. You're always kind of focused on that reality, you gotta move forward in that reality. And even if, you know, there's just those times when you want to go back and go, oh, that tree and the hollowness of that tree, or this, the frog that did this, or there's, you know, the cat, or there's an elf, or there's something where you can just look at something and be creative about it, or it tells you a story. Okay, well, some of us may still be doing that, but it's just that gentleness, that craziness. I really like that.
Thank you.
Really beautiful, beautiful. Let's see.
I'm here.
I know. Andy, your thoughts?
You know what? This is reminiscent of my childhood. I saw me and my cousins rolling around in dirt and chasing fireflies. What people realize is not honeysuckle grows wild here where I'm at. And no matter when they come out, see, you can smell the honeysuckle. You can be walking, you can be just less than a yard, 3 yards away, and you can smell the honeysuckle. And it's a crying shame that people want to unroot them up and throw them away. I'd be ready to cry and throw a hissy fit like a 2-year-old, you know. But I'm so glad you brought this poem up and read it. Oh, my gosh. My childhood just coming back to me in my little age. And I love how you did the old folklore line, the next to the last stanza. I mean, every part of this brought memories back to my childhood, you know. And I love every bit of it. Thank you for bringing that back, nostalgia back.
That is awesome. Thank you so much.
And Sky.
This is beautiful. It was so beautifully done. Up to the part where the spirited imp or fireflies in the woods their nature lies, their crackles that belly the wayward truth. soon enough you'll realize their playful truth. And, you know, a thing about if someone could hold on to the fairy tale aspect of childhood and be able to go to it in short stints by either reading, I mean, that's why I went to school for teaching children. I work with adults with disabilities, developmental disabilities, but I did go to school for children, and I do enjoy a lot of time hanging out with kids more because they still have these things that we do find the truth of eventually, but hopefully we're able to keep bits of those and bits of that light and that hope and that imagination. And I think, you know, that again is why I really love storytelling, because you can kind of set your mind back to those things that were indeed, as you say, lost long ago. I love the way you say this. I think there's a soberness in reading it because you remember the things that you love. And then it's a little bit of a sobering at the end to think about what inevitably is lost. But I think we can travel back and grasp it again. And if you're like a fantasy junkie like I am. So really, really well done.
Oh, thank you so much, Sky.
And Rock and Tour.
Yeah, and you said you don't do happy. I really appreciate the childish aspect of this. I mean, that's something that I can relate to, if you can't tell by my sense of humor. The imps and whatnot, and the idea that, you know, the some of the things that go bump are the children that can't find their way into can't quite find their way into heaven, and they're just frolicking happy. You know, that's a peaceful thought on something that could be taken, you know, very dark, depending on how you look at it. So I really appreciated it for all of that. You know, it still has that edge to it that you could definitely, you know, go to if you wanted to, but you kind of skirted around it a little bit in a non-pretty good way, but, you know, still you did it with your own thumbprint, you know, your own fingerprint. It was absolutely stunning. You know, I'm a fan. I make no illusion. I appreciated it before.
Thank you. I tend to not fully sacrifice children. I leave that to Sweet. She is the queen.
Aww.
Check a trunk.
Me.
And Frank.
Wait.
Did you call on me?
Yes, I did.
She did.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I wasn't clear there. I thought this piece here, I agree with what everyone said here. The whole notion there of childhood there and generations long ago, you know, maybe I'm wrong in saying this, but I always felt that as a child, you know, in our childhood, we dare to venture more than we do in our, I would say, as adults. And this poem just brought memories to me of many things there as a child as well, in the time where we really did believe in fairies, in imps, and all of these fanciful things of fairy tales. And it's very, you know, there's an innocence to this poem that I really enjoyed there. You know, it just enchanted, you know, the poem was very enchanted. And I love the cadence in this piece here. It was very smooth. It was just very, very serene, this piece here.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That's been written in Burns stanza.
Yeah. Very creative piece there. Pretty good.
Thanks.
Sweet, can I say a few
words? Absolutely. I have to call on you next.
Well, because... Just to for people to understand the Burns stanza, this is not straightforward writing. You know, like the A rhyme is written in tetrameter, the shorter lines are written in dimeter, and the reason that it flows so beautifully is because it hits the meter, the dum type meter. And as a writer, that's a very, very difficult thing to do. People have been doing this for hundreds of years, but it's only the best writers who can actually get a poem to actually sit in that rhythm and to sit in that flow. And that's why the cadence is so good, because it's actually written in that rhythm deliberately. And that limits your choices of words significantly, because you've got to actually hit that rhythm and use the words in that rhythm. And it's exceptionally clever. It's a great poem. It's a brilliant poem on the subject and on what it says. But it's a fantastic, literally, achievement to actually make it work in Burn stanza, and I'm most impressed.
Well, thank you. That's really quite wow. Thank you so much. I'm not usually at a loss for words, but I am. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Please comment.
Yes, I think. Yes, I got one kid down there waiting. I thought his comments before I take off. It's a wonderful poem. The rhyming is exquisite. The flow was magical. This is a fairy tale. The best tonight. I love your read, and I've gotten rather excited hearing you. Great job, and I must go.
Oh no.
Have a wonderful, wonderful night, Wayne. Thank you so much.
And I'm going to go too as well.
Okay.
But it's nothing to do with the company, but I do just need to go. So thank you, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good night, AP.
I always love having you.
Okay. Thanks very much. Okay, bye.
Yeah, okay. let's see. I think we have a poem by, No, By My Words, which is also on.
Yeah.
Audio. So why don't we put her up?
She's on the board.
All right. Let's hook her up. Bum, bum, bum. If I can speak. Hold on, Len. Before we do that, I'm going to say hello to Deb. Hello, Deb.
Hey, sweet. Hello, everyone.
We are about ready. We are about ready to queue up. It's known by our words. So here we go.
This night, had a dream, so I met Joe, a boy that said, aged 24. The eyes spoke as if they had died. I need a girl to talk through the night. That night, had a dream. So I met Joe, dancing with the stranger in the rain. Some years back, we talked whole days, with time passed by, the eyes had closed, and now the pages say no words, like the strangers we meet no more. That night, had a dream, so I met Joe, a boy there said, aged 24. That night, had a dream, so I met Joe, dancing with the stranger in the rain. The album of a life has no more songs for the night of the rain. It calls one more stop, and now the train no more trips, but dance like strangers in the rain. The dream had a dream, so I met Joe, a boy just at age 24. That night, had a dream, so I met Joe, dancing with the stranger in the rain.
Ooh.
I'm glad I'm not the only one sitting here clapping to the microphone.
I'm talking. I was on mute because my dog barked. So then I'm like, "Oh my God, that was so beautiful and how sweet." And how, and no one's hearing me. And I'm like, "Oh, okay, sorry, guys. Guys, that was so sweet and so loving. And oh my God, it was like something that I really think a fairy or an imp or a magical creature would sing. She has such a beautiful voice. And Oh my God, thank you so much. Wow, I really, really enjoyed that. I wish I could sing like that. I certainly cannot in any way, shape, or form. And I love the title, Dance Like Strangers. There's been a lot of dancing. By the Night of the Rain, I love that, by the way. I love rain, but By the Night of the Rain calls one more stop. Let's dance like strangers in the rain. That dream had a dream. Saw a metro, a boy set. A boy there sat, age 24. I really, really enjoy dancing with a stranger in the rain. I think that's probably one of my old fairy tale kind of things, dancing with strangers in the rain. But I thought that was brilliant. Deb, your thoughts?
I agree. And you know how when you're watching like a Disney movie and occasionally like the heroine or whoever of the story will break out into a song? And that was kind of the feel I got while she was singing, like we were on a clip of a Disney movie, you know?
Yeah,
and like some years back, we talked whole days with time passed by, the eyes have closed, and now the pages see no words, like the strangers, we meet no more. So there was like a little bit of sadness, but like I said, during the tale, I kept feeling like, this is so sweet, this is like movie line musical type of thing, you know. I think that it's really, really sweet that she's getting into singing her poetry. Bravo. Impressive.
And Frank, your thoughts?
Yes, of course. I have to agree that she has a beautiful cadence in her voice there. You know, the whole notion there of dancing in the rain with a stranger, it's a beautiful sentiment there, and I just love the way that she incorporates that concept there. You know, the night has had a dream, saw a metro, boy that's had at age 24. There is a narrative to this piece. It's romantic, but it's a very eloquent piece, I would say. You know, it's not that many lines, but yet at the same time, it's good enough to gravitate to just the words and her voice as well.
And, Brandy, your thoughts?
You know what? Y'all going to laugh at this. But when I heard the dogs barking, I said, everybody's a critic.
No, they only say nice things.
They were singing along. They weren't criticizing.
I don't think everybody's a critic. But as for the song itself, I love the flow, and I love how the music was soft enough for her to sing through it, and it was so flowy, it was so light, it was so gentle. And then I kind of got lost through the poem a bit because I was like trying to figure out where the chorus was at a bit. But I listened to the music. I didn't even pay attention to the poem itself. I listened to the music. And I love how it just made you just sit there like, oh, yes. You know, you just felt the romanticism in it, you know. Yes. Back to typing.
Wow, it's beautiful. And Freebird, your thoughts?
You know, there's something about this. First of all, her voice is very sweet, which is nice. And I love being serenaded. It's always just, you know, brownie points. So woohoo. So it was a nice surprise. I really enjoyed that. But there's something whimsical, a little bit enchanted about, you know, that night had a dream, just that concept alone. And when you go through when they met and then, you know, then it's years ago and now the pages hold no words and then the album of their lives had no more songs. And that night that had a dream turns into a dream that had a dream. And that's kind of heartbreaking and a really wonderfully poetic notion. As the passage of time. So I really thought that the way she did that was quite lovely.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, and hold on. Let me say hello to Hatter. Hello, Hatter.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are unmuted.
Okay, unmuted. Now I'm unmuted. That's
okay. And then I'm going to let Sky give me a comment.
Yeah, one treat with the singing, huh? That was pretty, it was wonderfully melodic. And the tone in which she kind of, it's just a little bit dreamlike. I loved the storytelling in it. I loved the most, I think, the album of our lives had no more songs, but the night of the rain calls one more stop. And now the train, no more drifts, but stands like strangers in the rain. Really, really, really love those lines. I thought it was a wonderful way to end to have this remembrance and for this dance of really remembrance of this dream. Brilliant, brilliantly done.
Absolutely, I agree with that. And Sky, did you bring me presents? Of course you did.
I didn't bring you your present because I fell asleep, but I will have to give you an IOU for that. But, so, okay, really, I'm sorry. I'm still going to keep the course. I'm going to give you an IOU because I fell asleep in the middle of it. I'm really sorry. I've been kind of going crazy. But I can either, so I've been looking around, I could either tell you a tale of Mildred Moon, the Lantern Fairy, or the Goblin. I could tell you Theo Rabbit and Mildred Moon. Or I do have one that I did for about dragons for Deb for the trees, but it's a little less story-like and more like dark story.
I want
less
the first
fairy
one.
All right. Okay. All right.
I already knew.
Okay. I got a lot of them, just not the one for you. I'm really sorry, but I will give you an IOU. And ask Deb. I always deliver my IOU.
Absolutely.
Okay. I know.
Listen, I haven't read it in a while. It's pretty old. This is Mildred Moon, The Lantern Fairy, and the Goblin by Sky Darkholm. While in the eve, Mildred Moon came to rest. She found a fairy and lantern like a genie jest. Her heart weighed heavy for this little sprite and wished to set her free under starlight. There was, perhaps, a master, she guessed, while in the eve Mildred Moon came to rest. So she waited till sun shone ever so bright. She held herself hidden in sky, keeping sight. She watched while long days passed her by, making a plan of rescue as if she were a spy. While in the eve Mildred Moon came to rest, she told the fairy of her determined quest. Finally, she saw when Goblin Master slept, and children, I don't even know where that came, and asked Mr. Sun to shine until he left. So tired was he when Fairy flew from nest, while in the eve Mildred Moon came to rest. And home. I was simultaneously thinking this one was for my godchildren in reading, and then the word children came out, sorry.
Aw, I love that.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I loved it anyway. I thought it was beautiful. Thank you. You brought me a story. That's all I care about. It's perfect, as always, because you love me. All right. So, you, let me critique it, but I can't critique you because I love you, and this is perfect. I like Mildred Moon. First off, I love that. Making a plan of rescue as she is if she were a spy. While in the need, Mildred Moon came to us. She told the fairy of her determined quest. I love that. I like when you can talk to fairies, because I like to talk to fairies. So tired was he when the fairy flew from nest. While in the eve, Mildred Moon came to rest. I think there's so much more that we've talked, and I want to go and talk to her. So if you can make an appointment with me, I greatly appreciate that. But I really love the flow of this. I love how, you know, you can just go up and talk, and she's going to make sure everything's going to be right.
you know, while in ease, she came to rest while she waited until sun shone ever bright. She held herself hidden in the sky, keeping sight. She's very patient, and, you know, we just got there and talked, but this is brilliant, as always. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Sky. And there are many more poems that you can write about Mildred Moon.
Thank you. I do have a lot of poems about Mildred Moon. She's on quite a lot of adventures. Yeah.
I can imagine. But I like the moon and all the things she does and all the things she does to help us live. And the things she can talk to. And she's very nice to Mr. Sun. I'm still very confused about the lantern, but one of these days I will get that.
Well, the fairy's trapped in the lantern by a goblin, so she's trying to find a way to save the fairy and the lantern from the goblin, but she can only do it at night, so she's got to devise a plan at night to be able to. But then she works with the sun to create a plan to tire out the goblin so that she can rescue her.
I got I got the fairy being trapped, and I got the sun and the moon working together. I just couldn't figure out where the lantern was coming in. I didn't get that the fairy was in the lantern. Now I know. See, sometimes Sky has to have these conversations with me, but I get that now. I never got that it was in the lantern. See? Now I get it. Thank you. But we have to keep her in my fairy tale. I love Mildred Moon. Okay, so now that I'm having done that personal Sky.
I love this. There's a grace the way you write that is just kind of lulls you in. And I don't know if this is a particular form or just something that you chose to do, but I loved how the line moves through the stanzas to the very end, so you open and close, and it kind of travels with us as we go through the story, and I thought that was an interesting little touch of flavor there, so I appreciated that. And, of course, you are just, like, the best storyteller ever, and I'm still waiting for your children's books to come out, so I'm expecting that at some point soon, by the way.
Thank you.
It's
a quatern. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Because I am horrible at remembering names of anything.
Thank you.
And raconteur.
I would have thought goblins were nocturnal, so I would have thought it was the other way around. That she would try and free it during the day, but I love the story. I like that the fairy got trapped in the lantern. That's kind of happened before. I think they even did it to Tinkerbell and Peter Pan at one point. I really enjoyed the whole thing. You know, like everybody says, you're a gorgeous story. Your stories are gorgeous, and you know, as much as you want me to read your bedtime stories, I want to read your stories too. So. There you go, Mutual Admiration Society.
Thank you, Rex.
And Frank, your thoughts?
Yes, first of all, I'm not aware of Mildred, but I am interested in knowing more about this tale here. I thought it was an excellent brevity here. You know, of course, the rhyming scheme is impeccable here, but I enjoy the storytelling there, and I agree. A good friend there, Sky, has a wonderful ability of just bringing us fantastic storytelling, you know. And you have to have creativity, you know, and that's something I have to say, and it does take talent as well. And Sky, you do have both of these things there, because they're not easy to create pieces like this and be consistent as you are.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
And Brandy, you have anything to say?
Huh?
Do you have anything
well,
to say about
something.
The poem? Yeah,
do what?
Comment for Sky.
For
bye. Oh, sorry. I was typing, so my bad. I didn't pay attention.
That's okay. No worries. Deb, do you have any thoughts?
I do. For one, I have a question first. Sky, did the picture influence the write, or did you...
It was
go and find it after because. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do both. This one I wrote for a John Coe contest. A lot of these Mildred Moon Theo Rabbit series were written for, just like my Owl series were written for John Coe's contest. When he would put one out, I would thread them in to the series.
Really cool because, like, in the title, Mildred Moon, the Lantern Fairy, is like a perfect caption for the photo. That was why I asked. But anyway, I agree with Sweet. Well, with everybody, you really are an excellent storyteller. We have some poets in here with such an ability, and you were doing it here with, what, 1, 2, 4 stanzas. So, like, sometimes to get the entire point across, you know, stanzas could possibly drag on and you know, people lose interest. But you're so good at your details and pulling us in and keeping us there and holding our attention that that's not the case. And I agree with Pretty Bird, wondering when those books are coming out.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Honestly, I would publish those first. I do, that is on my to-do list. Thank you.
Cool.
All right. I think it is now time to, let's see.
Has Bud been on the board all night?
Budo? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right, let's throw a Budo.
He's on the board. Ew.
All right. Yeah, that was not pleasant sound. Would you like to be pretty?
Oh, sure.
All right.
This is Lost City by Budo. And it goes like this. And there it displayed itself on a rocky promontory, encircled within the Tibetan ridgeline, the emerald city of Shangri-La, a emissary erected centuries past for the common good and healing of humanity. Mahayana Buddhism, teaching truth and wonder in peace and harmony by the monks who lived inside those walls. The trek was long and arduous, and the journey met with fraught. Yet the weary traveler knew his answers to the many questions plaguing his consciousness would soon be answered. He sighed deeply and inhaled the brisk mountain air, eyeing the griffin circling high above, then began to move forward towards the gate. Two monks waved and gestured him inside. Soon he would become one of them, and his salvation would be one step closer. Nirvana. End poem. Sorry for tumbling over that word. My bad. But this is lovely. Go on, Sweet. Sorry. Sweet. Are you on mute?
Yes, I am. Anytime you hear the dogs bark and somebody's ends and you'll hear me just scream at me to unmute. Absolutely. That was beautiful. A beautiful read. Budo, you amaze me. Just so that you know, FYI. It's so fairy tale-ish. I love that you chose that picture. For the common good and healing of humanity. I won't even try to say that because I'll butcher it too. Teaching truth and wonder in peace and harmony by the monks who lived inside those walls. I mean, it's just perfectly beautiful, and I keep saying beautiful and stunning tonight because those are my words, I guess. But he would become one of them, and his salvation would be one step closer to nirvana. Because isn't that what fairy tales should be, nirvana? Fairy tales should be that ending of peace and serenity and what we're looking for. Because I think, you know, that's what we all want. Because sometimes life is so chaotic and hectic and we're moving and you know, the last couple of years or this, especially, you know, coming out of the COVID mess and everybody's just kind of
dipping their toes now outside, and we're all like, should we, should we not? Can I touch someone? Should I hug someone? Should I be within 3 feet of someone? And it's kind of like we're newborn fawns just kind of coming out into the woods, and you know, that's what I feel like. And right now I just kind of want to let that go and walk into nirvana through story, and I really enjoy how you put this. Deborah Lee, your thoughts?
Well, I think that he turned around and he gave that, it was like he added heritage to that photo prompt. And his details are awesome, and the feel is really great. But the ending there, I really love how he went into the two monks, waved, and gestured him inside. Soon he would become one of them, and in salvation would be one step closer. Nirvana. I love that it's... There's something about that just one word ending. It gives it a lot of impact. It's an excellent brevity. I think that it's like not history. I can't think of the word I'm trying to come up with, but he did an excellent job with it. Awesome details. Great read, too, Pretty Bird.
Thanks.
I agree. And Pretty Bird, you read it yourself.
Yeah, I will pretend I didn't mess up that word. You know, he's such a peaceful soul that I love that his storytelling is all about finding that inner peace and salvation and the struggle of the journey and having it just all be worth it and have it be found in the quietest of places. And there's a beauty in that. There's detail in here that it feels like those old fashioned like village tellings where they're teaching you things, you know? And it's really just this complete experience. And I was enthralled. Even though I was reading it, I was still completely enthralled. It's beautifully peaceful.
And Frank, your thoughts?
Yes. First of all, I really appreciate this piece here because I do practice what is meditation. So I strive. I'm not a Buddhist, but I do believe in somewhat of the concept of ultimate enlightenment of nirvana. So I really enjoyed the whole aspects and the elements that he throws in here of Buddhism as well. That notion of the lost city there, which... Can insinuate many things about Buddhism as well. So this is a wonderful journey, a wonderful track, and I thought he did a wonderful job here with all those elements there I mentioned there.
Excellent. And Hatter, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I love the way he identified the griffin and named it griffin. The poor eagle and several other animals. But that was a unique touch. The Tibetan monks, yeah. A mystery in themselves, Tibetan mountains. In comment.
Raconteur, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like that he mentions Shangri-La and Buddhism because, you know, that there's a mythos surrounding that to begin with. So he kind of built upon that and came up with his own little spin on it, which was gorgeous. You know, he's got a way of writing that just, you know, flows beautifully off the page, you know, like everyone says about it, storytelling and everything else. And I keep teasing him, I'm going to buy panties to throw at him. So, you know, well done, Buddha.
You can borrow a pair of mine. And Sky, your thoughts?
I thought it was wonderful. You know, I think there's such an everybody kind of went in a way, a different way. Like I went to childlike fairy tales, and I think Dan went very not childish but spiritual fairy tales, and I like the way that he kind of took this based in reality, in a journey, in the tale rather than, you know, technically the unimaginative, but more a spiritual journey and more of a a spiritual tale. So I really enjoyed the way that he took this and how he kind of made this more brisk mountain air, eyeing the griffins circling high above. I love griffins. I have one on my notebook that I have for this for my 2019 year. So I love that he brought that in there. Those creatures are brilliant. So wonderfully done, Dan.
All right. Next one up is me. I'm on the board.
Peter Griffin.
All right. This is called Burn. Storytellers begin to tell a tale. Dragon tail and slash skin rip apart every limb. Beware the emerald sign on greenest scales. Camouflage in a forest brush. Child, divert your eyes from dragon's gaze. Heed this warning, or by fire ye shall die. The tiniest child in the land shouted, liars! A dragon is a gentle giant, my friend. His fire protects him from the witches and the warlocks. Waterfalls of rain flow from his eyes of jade. Humans are the haters, the makers of war. Imps and fairies hide the enchanted creatures from the pain of a battle world gone insane. Adults don't listen to children. Little girl's tale forgotten. But she still walked the path to meet her dragon, who he loved and swore his protection and loyalty. Then one day she grew, and like all adults, she no longer believed, until the flames of an angry dragon burn the curtain between imps and humans. To be continued. And oh,
aww. The poor dragon. You know, he's like that well-loved doll that the kid grows out of, and now he's all heartbroken and angry, and that's why we can't see the things that we saw as a kid. That's kind of brilliant. And I kind of love that, but the poor dragon. So, Deb, what are your thoughts on this whimsical piece?
Huh?
Deb.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I'm caught up in the poem.
Oh, no, Deb. I called Deb.
I'm multitasking. You know what? It's indeed very whimsical. It's like, you know, you're not sticking to one note. That's what I love about you. You know, it's like the second stanza, you know, it's like dragon talons slash the skin. Oh, God, I freaking love it. I might have to steal it with your permission. Rip apart every limb. Again, I'm going to have to take that part, too. You know, that's just described me this morning. But, yeah, I love the imagery. Even without the picture, I love the imagery. You know, I just love the imagery. Keep it up. I'm going to have to comment on these tonight. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
That is awesome.
You know, my music came back, so I'm typing up for contests.
And Ms. Deborah Lee, your thoughts?
Well, the different emotions that I felt while you were reading were pretty cool. But what got me was more towards the end, the reality of, you know, when you grow up, some of the things that you've almost forget to believe in because, you know, you believed in them when you were a child and then you grew up and reality hit you. And then the flames burn the curtain between imps and humans, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, what's going to happen? And then you say, to be continued. Now we're going to have to wait till next week, I assume, to find out what comes next, if not longer. But I thought you did a great job with this. And I like the waterfalls of rain flow from his eyes of jade. How sad is that? So, like, brilliant wording to pull emotions out of me, sweet.
Aw, oh, thank you.
And Hatter, how do you like this dragon tail?
What I got out of it was Together they would travel on a boat with Bode, Sinew, and Jackie kept a lookout but perched on Puff's gigantic tail. Little Jackie Payton loved that rascal Puff. He bought him string healing wax and other fancy stuff. Yeah, it's Puff the Magic Dragon.
And now that song is stuck in my head. But it's okay. I'm not mad at it.
Forever, yeah.
And Rack and Tor, your thoughts on Sweet's piece?
You mean the poem? Yeah, I really enjoyed the idea of, to me, like a heartbroken dragon upset about being forgotten, so he tears down the veil between imps and humans so that it can't be ignored. That's what I got out of that ending. I thought it was gorgeous. You know, I love your imagery. I love the things that you bring in every time. The colors of the dragon and the scales and the eyes and the tears. I mean, every little bit of this is beautiful.
Thank you.
And Sky, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was brilliant. I really loved that the trilogy idea that you had, Sweet. I really enjoy that, and the prompt and in your piece. When I was a kid, I really loved Pete's Dragon. So I definitely have a fondness for dragons. Yeah, I just love it. I was really afraid with the remake, but they did pretty good. But the friendship there, of which the boy and the dragon had, has always been a fondness of mine. So this piece mirrors that wonderfulness. And then again, I'm going to have to, and if you start reminding me of books and movies, that means you did a good job. But of course, it's original. But the idea, like when the never-ending story, when the world starts being destroyed because everybody's forgetting to believe and it destroys their world, you took, you know, two of my favorite fiction-based I guess one's a book and one's a movie, but and you kind of twisted it around into this new tale with this dragon. But this dragon has a lot more grit than those did. So I really like that. He's not taking it laying down. You know, the other one, there had to be a human being the hero. But it would be really awesome to see. And I don't know where you're going with this, but it would also be awesome to see. You know, I mean, it's great that the boy was a hero and that the other boy, but it would be great to see, the dragon be the hero and be his own hero. And there's that whole thing where some fairy tales, I love fairy tales, but sometimes when you sit around and wait for someone to save you, they don't always come. So I kind of like how this little dragon's taking action itself. So this is wonderfully done. It's intriguing, and it definitely does make you want to say, okay, where is this going? Where are we going to go here? And it's beautifully written as well. And with a moral and a message, because humans can be very destructive. Really well done.
Yeah.
And Frank, your comments.
Yes, I'm going to echo right now what was said here by my brain is falling off here. Sky, I like the fact that she emphasized the moral of this piece, because I really did like that contrast, you know, what is seen between the eyes of a child and in the eyes of an adult, and how belief, in this case, of dragons and fairy tales is just, is what Sky just said, that it becomes when we no longer believe in these things. And so I love that analogy there you provided there, that contrast as well. I thought that notion there of disbelief there, and just seeing how the dragon itself, how he took into his own matters there, the situation there, but you know, the angry dragon burnt the curtain between imps and humans. So there is a strong image in that last two lines there, but the moral of this piece stood out for me.
Hi. We're going to throw Frank on the board, and then Deb is going to close out my show with her fantastic things. So, Frank, we're going to throw you on the board. Huh?
I brought presents.
Yeah.
I brought presents.
Oh, Hatter, you're going to close out my show then. You brought me presents. Awesome.
I did.
I'm so sorry.
Of course. Sorry.
Might have a soundtrack. A soundtrack.
Okay. Then we will get you on the board, and I will press your buttons.
He's on the board.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Once upon a time in a distant land, lived an immortal who was a fairy. So it sought to confine was she in nature, and in her appeal. And so beautiful and divine, always, with her tender lips and her engaging eyes, bewitching any man of her exuding aroma of magical sensuality. Her fluttering wings and refulgent sparkle aroused my curious fascination to discover with such an intense emotion I had sensed to the core of my stimulating sentience. And I was emerged suddenly at that time in the depth of the bosom of my ecstasy, beside the lush, moisty clovers of a passion. We would just bathe in the caressing waters of our unbridled desires upon the succulent feast. We would dine the two upon the mallow fruits and the sweet honey, and imbibe from the gushing fountain soaked in the pouring liquid flow of the cascading milk that covered us, only to awaken in a canopy of the forest of the romantic lovers of the soothing morning bliss. But one day she became very jealous and would not share me as a mortal lover, and from that moment I knew nothing except her obsession in Naya. Never would I be rid of her haunting spell, of her unyielding seduction, and her wicked desire to possess me turned into a dark game she could not bear to lose, as I tried to suppress my urge to be with her. She stalked me through the forest and through the fields of emerald green with a terrible vengeance that no man dares to evoke, so blindly and so foolishly, like the rapid wildfire she could not tame her need to possess me, was I the need to escape her powerful grasp on me, and in the end I succumbed to her feminine persuasion, so commanding and so erotic as the spell of lovemaking of two lovers of spring. Oh, oh. Of my fairy in the poem.
Well, there's a fairy tale. My
there
goodness. Oh, wow. That is a one hot, seductive fairy tale. Quite the visual there. Quite the fairy there, picture too. The seduction of my fairy. Frank, you definitely brought it.
Yeah. It's actually from I think it's number 16, the prompt you had there. With a fairy and a raven there. That's the one that inspired me. I mean, this is the shortest one I had, but this is what I took from that prompt that you had there.
That's awesome. I liked the so blindly and so foolishly, like a rapid wildfire she cannot tame. I mean, fairies are definitely seductors, and they can pull you in and make you do anything at their will. And wow, I like how she stalked me and a dark game and all of that. It was quite, they can play with your mind. I'll tell you what, be they male or female, a fairy will take you at her will. Quite enjoyable. Very eloquently told and dark and deep and, man, you never want to mess with a fairy who wants something from you, I'll tell you what.
There you go.
Never leave your thoughts.
My goodness. I think that There was a lot of heat in your voice as you were reading, and the details were really awesome. I especially liked the part that Sweet was just covering, though, about not wanting to get her angry and evoke her anger. Wait, I'm trying to find it. Oh, okay. No one dares to evoke so blindly and so foolishly, like a rapid wildfire. I think that we all have that rapid wildfire in there, and you can foolishly evoke that vengeance if, you know, you're not wise. But I like all that, like we would just bathe in the caressing waters of our unbridled desires. There was really great wording and stuff. The seduction of my fairy, totally unexpected, but awesome.
Oh,
once upon a time in a distant land. And then it went a little different, exotic and vain. I was like, whoa. Crazy.
I was wondering if you wondered if did you expect me to do the little laughter there?
Nah, it wouldn't have fit.
Oh, there we go. Okay. That's why I thought about that.
Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is complete. The words he uses, it's full of obsession, possession, succumbing to stalking, stimulating. And honey and lovers don't mix well. I don't know who started that.
Oh, my God.
They don't at all.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Ragandor, you're
these are magical fairies. These are magical fairies there, happen.
Yeah.
Was this about your visit to New York City? No. I enjoyed the story. I did. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist the joke. You told a wonderful story, although, you know, at times for me it was a little hard to hear. But from what I followed, you know, it was romantic, and, you know, fairies are passionate, and, you know, that passion runs to their vengeance as well as their, you know, affections. So you got to be careful. Well done.
Well, thank you very much, there, Rack. Hope you'll see one of those days over there in New York, one of these types of fairies.
All right. Freebird, you got the last say, and then Hatter's on the board.
Oh, I thought Deb was going to go before Hatter.
Yeah.
Hatter's on the board.
We got less than 2 minutes if you want to say your thanks.
Thank you.
On the air.
Oh, yes, I can do that. I want to thank
Pretty Bird. Me.
Yes.
I want to thank Pretty Bird. I want to thank Raconteur. I want to thank Wayne Jett. I want to thank Brandy. I want to thank Sky. I want to thank Frank. I want to thank Deb. I want to thank Hatter. I want to thank everyone that wrote for me. Let's see what I got to do. I want to thank Budo. I want to thank Known by My Words. I want to thank Kay. I want to thank Stephen. I want to thank
the magical Devil Lee.
I'm getting there. Deb and Hatter and Glow Lizzie and Budo and everybody out there that was also listening on the board. You guys rock. I can't do this without you. You're amazing. And everybody else that listens from around the world, thank you for supporting me and Team of Voices. We definitely could not do it without you. And now to get my peeps on the board, I don't care if it's Deb or Hatter or who's going to read, but I'm anxious to hear them all. So
okay,
you guys fight it out. Duke it out. Do what
you
do. Yeah,
I chose Deb on the board.
All right.
All right. Mine is called Breaking the Jester's Plan as the Storm Sets Two Free. And here we go. Poachers lock the animals up for the underground sales. peddling them around the planet. Money for apes and whales. Mother Earth turns the tables now, kiboshing today's sales. In the jester's garden on the edge of the plaza square, apricot tints the sun. Gardenia petals surf the air and perfume the meadow, housing the lion and the bear. Grounded on the hilltop, staring at the cornflower sky, ice blue eyes spill teardrops that the whispering breezes dry. Weightlifting gilded gold, metallic feathers cannot fly, so the dragon just sits neath opal clouds rotating by. Gray pigments stain the shroud, eclipsing the quartz light. Lightning bolts crack the horizon with light lines of neon white. Then the sun scoots down the landscape as the moon climbs for night. Twin bolts flash, zapping the bear cave, electrifying air, burning the green vegetation and charbroiling the bear, leaving the dragon and the lion weeping for him as they stare. Under flowering lilac trees, they duck out of the rain. Whistles ride in the storm-filled din, and the passenger train heading into the depot in town as riders sip champagne. Two men shopping for a lion pull into the driveway, but tornadoes lift them up into the night display, tossing them into the ocean, blocking the sail today. The jester waves his arms, screaming, then lightning strikes again, frying his ass on the front lawn. He falls to the ground. Then a sweet butterfly-winged fairy sprinkles dust on the glen. She whispers an incantation. Gilded cages fall down. Dragon queen and the lion king stand both dressed in a crown. People and not two trapped animals, the rulers of this town. And Paul.
Oh, my God. That is epic. Oh, that is epic. Oh, first off, poachers after dragons piss me off, just so that you know. Not that poachers in general don't piss me off, but I would hope that poachers after dragons, dragons might be able to burn them a little crisp, and maybe that if we had dragons, they could help us really burn real poachers. And I like your author's note that too bad there aren't fairy godmothers to help us with poachers. Wow. This is just the amount of imagery you put in this. Lightning bolts crack the horizon, gray pigments stain the shroud. I read backwards sometimes and people are like, where is she? What is she reading? I go up and down all through this thing. Charboiling the bear, leaving the dragon and the lion, weeping for him, they stare. There's so much in here. It's brilliant, and it just, you can smell the flowers and you can smell everything. And wow, I again, stunning and awesome, and all those are my words tonight. But I love the sweet butterfly winged fairy sprinkles dust on the glen. You have these sweet moments of imagery, and then you have these brilliant, grandstanding, you know, I'm going to burn the crap out of you, and tornadoes and twisting and all of that. And it just, it's beautiful. Weightlifting gold, gilded gold, metallic feathers cannot fly, so the dragon just sits, these opal clouds rotating by. Really, really love that. But the first line just killed me. Poachers lock the animals up in the underground sale, peddling them around the planet. Money for apes and whales. Mother Earth turns the tables now, kiboshing today's sale. Oh, fire. Anyway, enough from me on my
show. Thank you, sweet.
You're welcome. Raconteur, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a gorgeous write, but, you know, it had the sad undertones of, you know, the reality of what a poacher is. And,
you know, to think that someone could be able to poach a dragon is a little mind-boggling, but, you know, did they find ways to do all that crazy stuff, you know, the same way, you know, hackers and all these other crazy people figure out, you know, the little tricks that they do. There's always someone that's gaming the system and figures out a way around it and, you know, puts these thoughts in our heads that should be, you know, we should never think about, but we end up doing it because the reality is, you know, the reality is reality, I guess. And to wrap that into the fairy tale was also genius. And, you know, like always, beautiful imagery, beautiful colors. But it was the story that, you know, it didn't have to be dragons. You know, you included the lions and the bears. And, you know, that's a reality too, you know, in I guess, other countries where they value, like, the gallbladder and the horns and things like that, and they grind them into powder and do stupid things with them under the belief that, you know, it's a natural, you know, whatever. It brings to mind all of that, and it calls attention to something that needs to be pointed out. And it would be nice if Mother Nature could defend these creatures that, you know, wind up being helpless because, you know, we've got the tools that make us, you know, superior to them, you know, on the scale of predators. We're actually only around, like, number two. It's because we can build these tools and things that we were able to overcome the predators that are more apex than us, you know. On the scale of apex predators, we're only around number two. But, yeah, beautiful poem, Deb.
Okay, and then I am going to ask Pretty Bird for her comment.
Yeah, okay. Where is it? I've been looking at it, and then I, like, shifted my gaze, and I can't find my words. Give me one second. Okay. It's the third stanza, that entire stanza. First of all, the notion of this is lovely, but this stanza where metallic feathers cannot fly, so the dragon just sits in these opal clouds rotating by, where it's like he's the guardian, but not because he can't move. And then the fairy frees him, and then all is right in the world. And I really kind of love that, but there's an underlying pain there that when you feel helpless, when, you know, all the beautiful things and all these bad things are happening. And I kind of really, I really like that. And I like that the lion and the dragon get to rule once and for all. And it's a beautiful, beautiful notion, because there's a lot of unfortunate truths in here, a lot of shadows and darkness. But it's that kind of wistfulness, that helplessness in there that really is quite touching.
Thank you, Pre-Brad.
You're welcome. I'm going to give the last comment to Sky, because she's going to comment on Deb's poem, and then she's going to go back and comment on Frank's poem.
I think. I appreciate it. And this is such a wonderful piece, and you're breaking my heart, Deb. Why are you always breaking my heart? And, you know, I think about fairy tales is that a wonderful story or a wonderful fairy tale always has a grain of truth in it. And that makes it relatable, not only relatable, but something that you could reflect upon and learn from and have that. I'm sorry?
No, sorry.
Go ahead. Okay. So it's something that you can, it humanizes it. It makes it important to you. And so any good fairy tale has it. A lot of people do it with morals, and you have done that here. You took something of fantasy, of this idea of the dragon, the poach, and then you took it down and you brought it into reality, which I think is brilliant. Not only in the foundation of, I always say, advocacy for important things, but putting it in a different context, so that other people who aren't going to read all the stats and this and that aren't going to educate them, those fantasy lovers like me. It's going to bring them in and say, okay, this is devastating, and it's put in a way where they can swallow it differently, because we all cling to different things. I really, really loved it. I think you did an excellent job with it. I always appreciate your advocacy on many fronts, and the way that you mix fairy tales in with this was brilliant, even though you were breaking my heart at the beginning a bit. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, thank you.
Really, really well done. And then
I'll be brief with Frank. Sorry, I was just going to say that Frank, I know Frank and I have some reading interests, and I probably will be talking about a bunch of books on these shows because it just reminds me of them. But there's this book called Ash, and it's like a retelling of Cinderella, but in a lesbian 4-H fairy tale setting, because she falls in love with the prince's huntress instead. But there's this whole underlying story of the she and how before she falls in love with the huntress, she actually commits to this dark she fairy, and he whisks her away and does all, and you know, and he has, she basically, he claims her. And that, and your piece reminds me that reminds readers that fairies actually have a much darker undertone if you look at it in the she versions and not like the, you know, this and that, but they have a much darker origin of, yes, claiming humans, and she ends up having to live up to that claim. It's a little, you know, but it has a happy ending. But your piece reminds me of that wonderful outtake of the she and the fairy and the fae in the darker sense that they really live in, that gets shrouded over, I think, by the pleasant. So I loved that about your story, that you went with that those original darker the she tales and the fae and things like that. Brilliant piece. That's all I wanted to say.
Well,
and comment.
I have to agree with that. You know, if I can say really quickly. Fairies as well, you know, if you really get into the storylines of, you know, Victorian storylines, their fairies, they really incorporate the seduction of fairies. That's all.
All right. I just have a quick question. Deb, can you jump Hatter in?
On the landline, so I'm looking to see if it'll do it. Just give me a second. I don't know if I know how to do
okay.
it right here.
If someone gives me Hatter's number,
Scott,
I can do it. Deb, you have my cell. If you want to text me, I can. If Hatter doesn't mind, he doesn't have to. He doesn't, but I can.
I know I'm supposed to be able to call in from Walk Talk, but I don't have a clue how to do it.
Do you want me to read his piece? If not,
no, I'm going to try to call him.
No, if it's not, I'm saying.
Here it comes.
Yeah,
Scott.
I know. Yeah, because you know. I want to add her. Does anybody know how to call from the studio? Because I don't.
The little phone icon is gone. It might be because it's after time.
Yeah, I was going to say,
maybe
I'll
that's
have
why.
To show you how to do it sometime, sweet, but they won't let us do it once the clock runs out.
Okay.
But while I'm giving
her... I've had that issue as well.
Yeah.
I've had that issue over there at the cafe.
The cafe... At the cafe. Oh, and by the way, I need to have a very special thank you to A.P. Taylor, who allowed me to hit him in the face with my pretty lady gloves. So that was nice. I got to do that. It's nothing like being able to hit a poet, especially A.P. It was quite lovely. Yes.
While Sky's getting Hatter on the line, if you look at where all your callers are and you see that lit up magnifying glass icon for searching.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, when there's time left on the clock, right next to it you'll see a little picture of a receiver for a telephone. If you click that, a little field opens up and you just dial the phone number that you want into the box and push dial. And it'll call people into the studio.
Cool.
Wait, I have Hatter.
All right.
Hey.
Okay.
Yay, we have Hatter. Awesome. Paul.
Oh, okay. It's called In the Woods of Castle Keep. I'm sure you got inspired by one of your pictures. And it goes like this. In the woods of Castle Keep, a tiny king found deep in sleep. Forever dreams fills the darkened halls, hung in pairs on the castle walls. Writings of quests and storybook tales, boats and ships from wishing wells. Photos of a queen now watching him cry, his tortured soul asks him why. He searches in dreams from yesterday, rescuing maidens and the dragons he slayed. Remembering times when he wrote in rhyme his heart's stopped loving too. Each day inside a little more dies. For me, it's loving you.
Aww. That's, again, a beautiful, perfectly rhymed poem, but photosynthetic queen, now watch him cry, his tortured soul, ask them why. Oh, my goodness, this is so beautiful. Rescuing maidens and the dragons he slayed, remembering times when he wrote and rhymed, his heart stopped loving too. Each day inside a little more dies. For me, it's loving you. He writes some of the most beautiful, beautiful poems. And, wow, such sadness. And, yeah, I would just, you make teardrops flow, Patter, you just do. Gorgeous. And, Deb, your thoughts?
Well, for starters, Hatter, you have a couple different poems where you incorporated the wishing well into it.
Yeah, I do.
And I don't think I really know anyone else who talks or writes about the wishing well, so I guess it's becoming like a trademark for you and your marshmallow self. As a matter of fact, I entered a contest where I had to take a line from one person's poem and a line from another and put it in my poem, and I used one of your wishing well lines, just saying. But,
oh.
Yeah, I'll show it to you later. But this poem, as usual, pulls out all these emotions in us, and you could tell by Sweet's voice the second you got done reading with that, oh. So it's just like I'm really thinking that your mission in life lately is to trigger us to cry or at least grab our heartstrings and tug really hard. And even with just a handful of couplets, you still grab us.
I know a poet that writes about wishing wells, too. Her name's Sweet Tea. Just saying.
Cool.
Just saying. Not as often as he does, but yeah, I do. Because Hatter and I, we're like together, just saying. We got brains. Yeah, well, okay, we know I yeah.
Like sweet potatoes and butter?
Like I use my burnt marshmallow on my sweet potato.
Yeah, on the marshmallow.
That's right. That's right.
Sticky and hot.
Guy, your thoughts?
Oh, this one's a little sad for me too. Why you and Deb are just breaking my heart here. This is a beautiful piece. I love the fantasy brought it. Writing of quests and storybook tales, boat and ships from a wishing well, and then the photos of the queen. Absolutely brilliant. And he searches and he dreams of yesterday, of trying to get that back, rescuing maidens and dragons blade. And when you read a piece like this, I want to go back to kind of on the same venue where I was going with Deb, there's you can think of it as, you can take it as face value as this a fantasy piece, or you can read the real messages beneath, perhaps of a lost love that once was, and that longing and that missing for a very real emotion of something that is missing from the soul. So you do it through this fantasy and fiction writing, and then at the very end, you hit us with that last two lines with the reality of it. Each day inside a little more dies for me that it's loving you. So there are things that lie inside of us that kind of hollow us out. And I think sometimes missing people can be the biggest grief of all. So
thank you so much.
Really, really well done.
Absolutely. Ken? Let's see. Frank, your comments, please.
Yes, I have to agree. This was just, I love the couplets here that were expressed in this piece here. You know, the whole notion there of what fairy tales are, you know, do incorporate much of what our aspirations, what our dreams, what our desires are. You know, and I thought this piece here was just a wonderful example of not only of the typical creativity that we know that our good friend Hatter has, but also as well his vision as well. And I thought this piece here really incorporated, you know, a great storyline. You know, it was a very creative write, and I really enjoyed this piece here and where it went.
Thank you, Frank.
And Raconteur. Raconteur, your
thoughts.
You're
welcome, my friend.
Unmuted.
He must be muted.
Must be. All right. Pretty Bird.
Hatter, Hatter, Hatter. You know you always get me with your wistfulness. You start this off with, you know, alone in the woods, and the king is in a deep, deep sleep. So even his dreams break my heart. And what I see in this, and I'm probably wrong, but that's okay. The art of poetry can be whatever's there, that's all that is left to do, that all of his moments are in that tortured place. All of those memories where he wants to be, he finds in his sleep, and he can't even get out of bed anymore because, you know, it's painful and it's killing him, but it's like he can't even move because he wants to be in that place where things are still, you know, real.
Remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that. It speaks of an all too familiar depression to me. So it's a little uncomfortable, but it's so beautiful. It's only uncomfortable because it's familiar. It's not uncomfortable because it's uncomfortable on its own. But it is really just lovely in its wistfulness.
Thank you. Yeah. I think it's sometimes when it's all that's left, you don't want to, even though it's that bad for you or sorrow, that you hang on to it anyway because it's the end.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, this has been a fabulous show. It's been absolutely wonderful. It's ending with that happily ever after ending, and I am going to throw up one of our own because it's been pure imagination. And so we're going to end the show with AP singing Pure Imagination. Thank you, everybody. I love y'all.
Love
Have
you.
A great night.
Yeah.
Love and respect.
Take
great
care,
show.
My friends. Well, I'm not just take care.
A little bit of Jane Wilder for Heather. Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination. You'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Want to change the world? There's nothing to it. There is no life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, AP.
Great song there. That was a great song by AP. Take care.
Night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.